Tonight we are going to begin a series of studies from the parables. It's been several years since I preached a series of sermons from the parables. In fact, I think it was about 71 is the last time that I attempted to preach a series, and I think it's time that I try again. I have preached on the parables through the years, back on up to that time, and I just hadn't got around to it since I've been here, but there's some great lessons in the parables, and I think we need to be acquainted with these lessons. The word parable comes from a Greek word which signifies placing beside or together. A parable is a comparison. It's an illustration. It's an illustration of one thing by another. And it has been simply defined, it is an earthly story with a spiritual lesson. And it gets back to this business of teaching. You know, to teach, you must go from the known to the unknown. And that's the principle the Lord recognized, and that's what he used in the parables. He took that which people knew about and in everyday life, and then he illustrated a spiritual truth. And that's what the parables are about. I haven't taken time to count the parables, but I'm told by reading what other men have said who have counted them that there's over 40 parables in the Gospels. So you can see that the Lord used this means of teaching to set forth great lessons, and in these parables, in a very brief space, our Lord taught great lessons concerning the kingdom, its value, the growth of the kingdom, its relation to the world, the conflict that the kingdom would have in the world, the triumph of the kingdom. And then they set forth man's duty toward man and man's duty toward God. So I think you can see as we study the parables, they are a rich source of spiritual nourishment. And as we start out, I'm going to start our study with the parable of the tares, and it's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. As I pointed out this morning, our Lord interpreted only two parables. He interpreted the parable of the tares, and he interpreted the parable of the sower. And so as we first read the parables, beginning with this parable now of the tares, in the 13th chapter, and if you'll look down to the 24th verse, and reading through verse 30, and then we will read the interpretation, beginning with 30 and going through 43, and then we will discuss the parable. The record says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30 says, Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then here is the interpretation. Beginning with verse 36, the record says, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath an ear, let him hear. And indeed, we have ears, and it is our responsibility to hear. Now, as we began to look at this parable, the sower went forth and he sowed seed in the field. And we see that while man slept, the enemy came and he sowed the tares. Now the tares are a species of the wheat family. And the tare looks just like looks just like wheat when it comes up. Now, the thing that distinguishes it from wheat is when it begins to bear its fruit. When it puts on its head, then, of course, men can discern that it's not wheat. And so you can see that it is very deceptive. Now, the servants asked if they should root up the tares. And he replied, Let both grow together until the harvest. Now, as we began to look at this parable in the very beginning, the parable teaches that there will be a separation of the righteous from the wicked. And it teaches that this separation will be so complete that the unfaithful will be severed from the righteous in the kingdom. And they, of course, will be cast into hell. As you go back now and look with me to verses 41 through about verse 42, when the record says, The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, of course, he has pointed out that the tares will be burned in verse 40. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. And so the tares will be burned, but also the unfaithful in the kingdom will lose their soul in a devil's hell. The separation will be made at the end of the world. And so that should impress upon us who are in the kingdom the necessity of being faithful. Now, the parable does not teach what many people have tried to make it teach, that it is wrong to withdraw fellowship. You will see that the seed was sown in the field, and the field is the world. And here he is not talking about the ungodly abiding with the righteous in the kingdom. Now, there will be some of that. That can't all be separated here. Elders can do the very best they can to discipline the ungodly out. But the God of heaven knows who they are, even in local churches. But you recognize that there are many unfaithful members of the church, and many people turn to false doctrine and to digressive practices in the kingdom of heaven. And all of those people will be lost, you see. They will be cast into the furnace of fire. And so you can see there will be a complete separation. And even those in the kingdom or the church who are unfaithful will be severed from the righteous in the end. Now, as we begin to look at the parable, he interprets the parable. And that's what we want to now look at, these different points that he makes. He said in verse 37 that the sower is the Son of Man. That simply means that the sower in the parable is Jesus Christ. He is God's spokesman in this dispensation of time. As we go back to the Hebrew letter, he would tell us in Hebrews the first chapter, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed out of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth. He is God's spokesman. God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, and verse 5, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. So Christ is the one that has given us the gospel. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sent the apostles into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Go back to the book of Mark in the 15th, 16th chapter, and reading verses 15 and 16, the record says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So you see, Jesus Christ has given us the gospel. He is the sower. He sent the apostles into all the world to sow the seed of the kingdom, to plant the seed in the hearts of men and women. And we will study the parable of the sower, and we will see in that parable the results of the sowing. We will see that some of the seed, of course, fell upon stony places, and it did not bring forth any fruit. As you would go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew and look at the very beginning of that chapter, when he says in verse 4, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. You see, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Here in the parable, he points out that the wayside seed, these do not germinate. We preach the gospel to many people, and the devil comes and he removes the seed, of course, before it can germinate in the heart. And then he says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, and because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Of course, he points out here some who will obey the gospel, and then, of course, they will fall away. But the point of it is that the gospel is to be preached. It is to be carried into all the world. The apostles preached it to all the world. You see that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The apostle said, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the church is to sound forth the gospel to the world, as the church in Thessalonica did in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians in verse 8, when he says, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. And so you can see then that the Son of Man, Jesus, is the sower. He sent his apostles into all the world to sow the seed. The church is to sow the seed of the kingdom in the world. And every disciple is to sow the seed of the kingdom in the world. And you can see that as we would go back to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts and verse 4. The record says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so we see that the sower went forth to sow seed. And that's the Son of Man. He identifies him. And of course, his disciples are to sow the seed of the kingdom. And when this seed is sown in the hearts of men, of course, it produces the children of the kingdom. But he says that the field is the world. As you would look back to verse 38 of this 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. He says, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And so this simply has reference to all mankind. The field is the world. The seed is to be sown in the world. That's our responsibility, you can see. The apostles went into all the world, and what did they do? They sowed the seed. And as I've already pointed out, the church has been commissioned to go into the world and to sow the seed. And so the good seed, the word of God, is sown in the hearts of men. As you can see from the first part of the parable of the sower, as I read it to you there just a few minutes ago, when he said back in the third verse of the 13th chapter, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some fell by the wayside. And then he points out the fowls came, and then some fell on stony places, and then some fell among the thorns in verse 7, and they sprung up and they choked them. And then he points out, and others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, then he says, some 30. And so you see, this now is the responsibility of the church to sow the seed in the world. And when this seed is sown in the world, the word of God, then the seed, he says, are the children of the kingdom. As you would look back now to verse 38 of the parable, he says, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. In other words, what he's saying, the good seed is sown, the word of God is sown in the hearts of men, as we've already pointed out. And he points out that the seed is the word of God in the parable of the sower. In the 8th chapter and in the 11th verse, where he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So we see then that the good seed produces the children of the kingdom. When the word of God is sown in the hearts of men, it produces children of the kingdom. And the only thing that this word will produce when it is sown in the hearts of men and women is the children of the kingdom. Now, that's all it will produce. The only thing the word of God will make is a Christian. The only thing that it will bring into existence is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot take the gospel and produce anything but a Christian. You cannot take the gospel in its purity and in its simplicity and produce any human arrangement or any human organization. You cannot take the gospel and bring a denomination into existence, because the gospel of Christ knows nothing of denominationalism. It knows nothing of human arrangements and human organizations. The only thing that the good seed will produce is children of the kingdom. And that's what he tells us. The sower is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Now, the sower of the tares, he tells us now, as we would look at verse 39, is the devil. He says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Now, we learn where the tares came from. They came from the devil. Now, the devil is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of Jesus Christ. He's called the enemy, you see. He is your enemy. That's what we need to recognize. We need to recognize that there is a devil. Jesus recognizes the devil. He talks about the devil. He teaches us about the devil. He tells us what the devil does. And I think one of the great problems in the church today, we don't understand the devil. We don't understand what he does. And therefore, we many times play right into the hands of the devil. Now, Jesus is telling us about the devil. He tells us that the devil is our enemy. He is the enemy of God's people. Peter talks about him this way in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Here Peter is addressing children of God, and he's warning them about the devil. And as you go back now to the parable, go back to the 25th verse of the 13th chapter, and he says, while men slept, you see how slick and sly the devil is? While men slept, his enemy came, and his enemy, of course, as he's identified him, is the devil. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He came in the night. He came under the shades of night. And he sowed the tares. And to the surprise of the servants, you see, they saw the tares. Now, where did they come from? And the Lord tells them where the tares came from. The tares, of course, came from the devil. And so you can see from verse 26 that the tares are very, very deceptive. The record says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And so whenever there was the full-grown wheat and the full-grown tares, it became evident that what? There was the tares. There was the tares among the wheat. And of course, it is a very disturbing thing to see the tares among the wheat, to see the tares in the world. Remember now where this is taking place. It is in the world we're living in. The tares were sown. The tares are all about us. The devil is very deceptive. His deceptive work is described in such terms as this in the third chapter of the Hebrew letter and verse 13, as the Hebrew writer talks about sin. He says, but exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What does the devil do? He deceives us with sin. That's exactly what he did. As we would go back now to the first letter to the young preacher Timothy, and go back and see as he came to Mother Eve in the garden, and the record says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." So we can see that the devil, as he goes forth to sow his tares, he does it in a very sly manner. He is an enemy. He's not only the enemy of God's people, he is the enemy of all men. Let's go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew and look down to verse 19, when the record says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one," you see, that's the devil, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside." Now, he describes who the wayside people are. These are people who never obey the gospel. And he points out why they don't obey the gospel. The reason, he says, is that when the word is preached, what does the devil come and do? He comes and removes the word. Now, who does the devil? He works through agents, you see. He works through his ministers. Paul talked about him having his ministers in 2 Corinthians 11. He's got his ministers. He's got his churches. He is very, very deceptive, you can see. And he opposes men. He does not want them to understand and to know what the truth is. Paul described what he does as he wrote in the 2 Corinthian letter, in the 4th chapter of the 2 Corinthian letter, and in verse 4, this is the way he describes his work. He calls him here the God of this world. He says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." You see, he removes the word from the hearts of men. He comes in disguise. He comes claiming that he is an angel of light. Paul said, this is the way he disguises himself in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 15. He says, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end is according to their work." But go back to verse 14, when he says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." His deceptive work, you see, as he goes forth to sow his tares, how does he do it? Very deceptive. He appears as an angel of light, and he has his ministers, and his ministers, they pose as ministers of righteousness. And so we can see our Lord is telling us where error comes from. His ministers, they appear to be all so good and so righteous. And Jesus talked about them in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 15 when he says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Now, he says, how do they come? They come in sheep's clothing, but they are ravening wolves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. They come with their fair speech. Paul talked about it in Romans, the 16th chapter, and verse 17, when he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." Now notice, He says, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Who is he describing? He is describing the devil's ministers. He is describing the deception of the devil as he sows his tares. He blinds the minds of men and women to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, number five, the tares are the children of the devil. He said that in verse 38 of the 13th chapter. And as we go back and read 38, this is the way the record reads. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, the tares are the children of the wicked one. The tares are produced by the devil's teaching. They are not produced by the teaching of the Lord. Denominationalism is not produced by the teaching of the Lord. It is produced by the teaching of the devil, you see. And as we've already pointed out, his deception, he is a deceiver. Let's go to the Ephesian letter, to the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter. And in verse 13 and 14, he says, till all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now that's the way the apostle describes the ministers of the devil. They lie in wait to deceive men. Denominationalism, then, is the product of the devil's sowing. And that's what we need to understand. That's what the Lord said here. The Lord said that the error that's in the world, and he said this error is going to be in the world as long as the world stands. Now that's sad. Sometimes we say, well, we wonder why the era is here and the era grows and what will happen. It'll always be here. This is what Jesus is telling us. He's warning us. He's warning us of the tares. He's warning us of the devil's work in the realm of religion. He is deceptive. He deceives. Error that's in the world has emanated and come from the devil. He has his false teachers, but he himself is false to the core. And that's what Jesus said about it. In the 8th chapter of the book of John and verse 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, who is Jesus describing? Who is the Son of God describing? He is describing the devil. The devil has no truth in him. The devil is the one that sows the tares. The devil is the one that error originates with. The devil has his ministers. And as he sends them forth to preach, they are called false teachers, false prophets. They are lying prophets, you see. That's what they are. The devil is a liar. And his teachers, his preachers, his ministers are liars. That's exactly what John said as he wrote in 1 John, the fourth chapter, And verse 1, he warns. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Many false prophets, many lying prophets, many untrue prophets are found in the world. Whose are they? They belong to the devil. They are the devil's teachers. You see, Peter, as he writes, he said in 1 Peter 2 and 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, he says, "But there were false prophets among the people." Now notice, "even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Where do these damnable heresies come from? The devil. The devil. Every false doctrine in the world tonight emanates from the liar, the devil. That's where it all comes from. That's what Jesus said. It is in the world because of the devil. As you see it spring up all around you, where does it come from? It comes from the devil. It is the working of the devil. He wrote to the Thessalonians. Again, he is talking about the tares as they now will spring up in the world, and he is talking about the apostasy, the falling away. And notice the way he describes this work of the devil as he describes now this man of sin. He says in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "Even him whose coming is after the working of" who? Satan. The working of Satan. "With all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What did he call it? A lie. It's time that members of the church understand this basic lesson. The devil has his preachers, and they preach lies. And what they preach is from the devil. Young people, denominationalism is from the devil. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus said you'd better be careful that the devil don't deceive you with his tares. His work is deceptive in the world. Denominationalism. What kind of lies does the devil preach through his ministers? Look at his lie about the church. When you read the Word of God, when you take the seed, the Word of God, as Jesus gave it, what does it say about the church? It's not hard to understand. "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," Matthew 16:18. Acts 2 and 47, "Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And we can enumerate the passages. We could go to prophecy in the Old Testament and show you that only one kingdom, only one church was prophesied. Only one church was built, and the New Testament talks about one church. Listen to the devil and his preachers. What will they tell you? One church is as good as another. Where did that come from? The devil. The devil. Denominationalism is from the devil. When it comes to faith, you can begin to read, and the Bible over and over emphasizes there is one faith in Ephesians 4. And in verse 4, he says there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. Verse 5 says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we could enumerate the passages. The Bible does not talk about a plurality of faiths. And you begin to delve into denominationalism and listen to denominational preachers, and they will tell you what, one faith is as good as another. Where did it come from? The devil. The tares are in the world. The devil has sown the tares. He sowed the tares in the first century. Jesus said he would sow them. And he said as he sowed the tares would be here until the end of the world. He was not going to remove them. But he warned us. He warned us of the deceptive work of the devil. Now, there is proof, and ample proof, for the honest in heart to not be caught in the snare of the devil. You can see the difference between the tares and the truth if you want it. If you don't want it, he'll send you a strong delusion that you might believe a lie and be damned. If you have pleasure in the work of the devil, if you want him to blind your mind and close your mind, he's busy at work, the god of this world. But you not see the simple truth of the gospel. The word of God is complete. Over and over, the completeness of the word of God is affirmed. And Paul, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, told him in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does the devil say? We've been studying on Wednesday night in denominational era. The devil says, why, this is incomplete. Why, you need the book of Mary Baker Eddy, or you need the creed, or you need the discipline, you need this, you need that. What is that? It's the tire of the devil. That's where it emanates from and comes from. That's where all error comes from. Error says, and the devil says, oh, you don't need the word of God for everything you do, and that there are men today who are inspired. Who says that? The devil. And Jesus said he would do it. Not only that, but all of the innovations in the church are produced by the devil. The New Testament, the seed of the kingdom, will not produce a human organization. It won't produce a missionary society. You can't read about one. It won't produce a sponsoring church. It won't produce authority for recreation, for the social gospel. It won't do it. It's a tare of the devil. He sows the seed in the church and in the hearts of men, and the error emanates from him. Now, the discovery of the tares was a sad surprise to the servants. Whenever they found out that tares had been sown, it was very, very sad. But you and I need to understand that these tares are sad. They hinder the cause of truth. And that's exactly what Paul said as he wrote to the Galatians. In Galatians 5 and verse 7, he said to the Galatians, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Now notice the next verse. "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." Where did it come from? The Judaizing teacher. Testament to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and look down to about verse 28, and we'll be talking about the great invitation this morning. Tonight we will begin a series of studies of the parables, and we will start out with the parable of the tares, which is a very interesting parable. The Lord only interpreted two parables. He interpreted the parable of the sower, and then he interpreted the parable of the tares. And we will look at the parable of the tares as we start out our lesson, because I think it is a very